Good morning. It's the 17th of August. Our New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 12. I'm reading to you once again from Brother Lou Sargent's book. These are his comments on the parable of the vineyard, which of course comes originally from Isaiah chapter 5. I read. The parable was based on Isaiah's Song of the Vineyard, in which the vineyard planted and tended by the Lord brought forth wild grapes, and was, in consequence, destroyed. In Jesus' version of it, the vineyard was let to tenants, and at the proper time the owner sent a servant to collect his dues in fruit. He and a succession of other servants were shamefully treated, and some were killed. But the owner had a last resort. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent him, saying, "They will respect my son." To send the one most dear to him, rather than taking swift action to eject them, was a supreme act of love, giving them one last chance to submit. That they should scorn the owner's forbearance and despise his most precious possession seemed inconceivable. Yet to the crude minds of the tenants, it only seemed that an owner who so long held back from coming himself could be disregarded. They said one to another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him, and as a final outrage, cast the body out of the vineyard, thus asserting their own possession of it. Now retribution could no longer be deferred, and would be all the more stern when it came. The parable needed little elucidation. Israel had killed the prophets, even to the last and greatest, John, and they were about to kill the Son. They would cast out his body, inasmuch as he would suffer without the camp in the place Golgotha. It is noteworthy that Mark lays his own special emphasis on the Son in the parable by calling him beloved, and leaves the identification unmistakable. Jesus is portraying himself as uniquely Son of God by birth and not only by his messianic relationship. The bitterest sting of the parable was in the implication that the hearers were not really in ignorance of who Jesus was, but were about to dispose of him so as to secure their own power over God's vineyard. That act would leave nothing for them but the certainty of judgment. Only at the end is Matthew's account the fuller, and here he records the answer to the question what the owner would do, as coming from the Jewish leaders themselves. Mark simply reports the Lord as saying, "He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others." If the members of the Sanhedrin tried, by their attitude, to convey the impression that the dart had glanced off them, they were not allowed to escape. The next words of Jesus thrust it home. "Have you not read the scripture?" he asked. "The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes." They were the builders of Israel, but the Lord God was the master builder. He would exalt the stone they were throwing out. Literally, the words were known by heart, but they had not read them so as to grasp their meaning. For the Hallel they would sing at the Passover a few days later provided their condemnation. Up to this point, Jesus had a substantial part of the crowd on his side. But though he would never be worsted in encounter, the Jewish leaders were, in some degree, to achieve their object of detaching the people from him. One thing, however, must be grasped firmly. We have now reached a point in the gospel of the Son of God where Jesus, as Mark shows more particularly than either of the others, presents himself by his own words as the Son, the Beloved, as the Lord had pronounced him at his baptism and in the Transfiguration. Thank you for listening.